This is Tactical Advantage with John Register, presented by Mount Carmel Veteran Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Tactical Advantage brings news, information, and resources to military-connected people of color throughout the Pikes Peak region. Now, here's your host, John Register.
Hey, great Saturday morning, everybody. Another Saturday of learning awakes us all. And we have got a great show for you today on Tactical Advantage. Once again, my name is John Register, and welcome to this Saturday. So grab a cup of Joe, sit back, relax, and have a great time. Gather the family around because we have a lot to talk about today. So you know today is that our anniversary, our commemoration of 9/11, the attacks that happened back in New York and the Pentagon in D.C. and out there in the plains of Pennsylvania. And all those things that happened, you know, we have a lot of things we're discussing now in the news that you have probably heard around veterans, and because this show is all about serving our veterans, especially in the southeast part of the community, and the service that, you know, our folks in Fort Carson, folks at the United States Air Force Academy, Peterson Air Force Base, and in, you know, the Strieber Air Force Base, and in Cheyenne Mountain, every one of those individuals that have put the uniform on, that we have said thank you for your service, now we're saying we're questioning that because of what is going on and the pullout from Afghanistan that just happened. And now this being the third day of Taliban rule that is over there, third day that they have taken the government officially. So, you know, we're going to be talking about that and really trying to help everyone just kind of understand some of these things, because it's also National Suicide Prevention Month. And we have some individuals on that are going to be talking about that in relationship to not only 9/11, kind of coming out of Afghanistan, but also what we're doing, what Mount Carmel is doing to help in behavioral health and wellness, transitioning, employment, as well as the Veteran and Family Resource Center that's over there in our part of our community over 530 Communication Drive, just off 8th Street where Mount Carmel resides. So once again, we're talking National Suicide Prevention Month. We're going to talk the Buck 50 Challenge to End Veteran Suicide, mental health visits to Mount Carmel, and we're going to be talking a little bit later on in the show with an individual on Colorado Springs Southeast community from the perspective of the rising star in the city government and how he sees the city moving forward. So we want to thank once again, Wirenut Home Services, Star Dental, and Medicare Mentors for sponsoring the show. And of course, we got DJ in the sound booth, and so he's going to be doing all the stuff for us today and making sure that the show comes off really great. So we are going to start with our first guest right now. So sit back, once again, relax, and let's get ready for the Tactical Advantage with your host, John Register.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage on KPPF.
It's time to smile again. At Star Dental Institute, Dr. Gary Moore and his staff specialize in general dentistry, dentures, and orthodontics, as well as sedation dentistry and dental implants at affordable rates. With COVID-19 restrictions being lifted, now is the perfect time to visit Star Dental Institute, Colorado Springs' premier full-service dentistry office and one-day denture service center. The message is basic. It's safe to come back to the dentist. To schedule an appointment, call 719-597-7979 or online at dentalcoloradosprings.com. Star Dental Institute, proud sponsor of Tactical Advantage. If you're Medicare eligible and military connected, Rich Lewis and Medicare Mentors will guide you through setting up coverage to make sure that you have the right options. Call Rich Lewis at Medicare Mentors at 719-886-3377. Medicare Mentors, personal guidance at no cost consultation for military connected service members. Committed to advocate for you today and all of your tomorrows. Proud sponsors of Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Carmel Community Ambassador, Ultra Runner, First Sergeant 1H U.S. Army retired, and one of Mount Carmel's most passionate advocates, eager to help others and prevent veteran suicide. Hey, thanks. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hey, thank you, John. It's good to be here.
Oh, my gosh. I am so excited to talk with you today and hear these stories. I know you got thousands of stories. we're going to try to keep it to just 100. This is great.
I'll work on it.
You know, share a little bit about your military experience, you know, in the transition to civilian life. We find a lot of military veterans that are transitioning from their military life into a civilian life, and you know, some struggle with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of struggle with that, right? Because you're still connected, and you still want to do, right. You still want to do all the things you did in the military. So I retired as first sergeant in 2005 after 20 years of a great service. I had a lot of fun. 82nd Airborne Division, drill sergeant.
Was your leg or you jumped out of them?
I jumped out of them. Well, I fell out of them. They were all night jumps. Yeah. So, you know, I had a lot of fun and got to do a lot of things. First sergeant in a space company, worked in controlling satellites and the satellite payload.
So, COMO.
Yeah.
COMO. Yeah, I was 31 COMO. Charlie.
Single channel. That's
single channel radio operator, baby, because I was colorblind. Could be a multi-channel. And well, then I became a multi-channel because they figured out it didn't really matter if you could see it or not.
It's all gray and black anyway, right? It didn't matter. All the equipment was gray and black. Right. I was 31 mic. I started.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I became a mic. So, yeah.
And I became SATCOM. And here we are. Still
and
in SATCOM.
And I'm SATCOM Victor 9, Tactical Satellites. So, I didn't even know that.
You need a job? Because we might have one.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I'd love to keep on learning about it. But go on. You know, talk about the transition.
Oh, right. So then, you know, I did what a lot of people do in SATCOM and communications. I retired and went right to work for the same battalion that I was in before.
That's what I wanted to do.
Right in there training. You know, it ain't too late, right? I did that for 9 years. And, you know, a lot of fun there, a lot of travel. Mm-hmm. And I started volunteering. And this goes back to some of my own healing is why I started volunteering. Some counseling I was going through. And when I did that, I was at the rescue mission a lot because I have a little bit of a homeless poverty background from growing up. Uh-huh. And I said, well, this is what's drawing me in and this is where I want to participate. And after about 4 years there as a volunteer, Larry Yonker, who was a CEO at the time, said, hey, why don't you take a pay cut and come over here and work for me? And I said, that sounds amazing. I'll do that. And so I got into the community, being the community relations director at Springs Rescue Mission. And that's, you know, you talked about the transition.
Sure.
It's hard, right?
Right.
Because you still want to serve. You still want to do those things. And that's what I found. I didn't know I was looking for it, right? And I found that service in nonprofit. Did nonprofit work, directed or community relations director at Springs Rescue Mission, and then development director at the Independence Center. And then it was time to go back into, you know, to what I knew and love. And I wanted to be around soldiers and airmen and sailors and all the things again. So, and that's what I'm doing now, back doing that.
So do you find that, you know, as we continue to talk on this show, a lot is around belonging, right? And so when people are transitioning, they're losing that sense of belonging. It doesn't really matter if you are a sports athlete and you've been on a football team, basketball team, soccer team, and you lose, you're trying to hold on to something that, you know, you maybe you're a little bit past your prime in it, or maybe you're aging out, or maybe you get injured and you have to, you know, separate. Talk about that sense of belonging and how crucial that is to find something that you can belong to quickly.
Right. And I hear you, like all those different places that you were talked about, you know, you have that sense of belonging. But I think we in the military, it's a bit different, right? Yeah. Because these are people that you train with, that you sleep in the same tent with, that you deploy with, that you lose, you know, your friends, right? And so there's a camaraderie that you just don't get anywhere else. And then you, when you lose that, that's a big hole in your life, right? And you're always seeking ways to find that. At least that's been my experience.
For sure.
And experience of a lot of people I know. And we don't find it, you go to other places, right?
Yeah. You know, I think I know that even for myself, it was really tough. Because that's the one thing I wanted to hold on to, and having the injury, which was going to separate me from service, or, you know, they were going to let me stay in, but I was going to be able to do the same thing that I was in doing. It was that feeling that I had let the unit down, or that, you know, I can't get back to the job and somebody has to backfill my position and the work it's going to take for somebody to do that. And there is that sense of ownership of that piece of what you're called to do in that moment, right? Yeah. And do you find it easy to kind of take some of those things into the next world, into the next part of that transition when you land on the other side, so to speak?
I didn't find it easy, right? I found a path, but I didn't find it easy. But you hit it right on, I mean, you were spot on perfect with this when you're like, there's something I left undone.
Right.
And I need to go back and do it with that. That's how I feel right now, you know, still with wanting to be deployed. So how do you fill that hole? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was community service. It was whatever I can do, as long as I can do it, and I'm going to do it, right? And that's why this veteran suicide and veterans mental health and being a person with PTSD is why mm-hmm. all this is important to me. So I didn't find it easy, but I did find
found a path
to it.
Yeah, I think that's what we always find. And you take the analogy of a pathfinder, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You're out front and cutting through the weeds and everything to try to see if you know what's the safest route to go. So talk a little bit about the race, right? In this this what's it called Mada Day Hey Buck 50 race.
There we go.
Badlands, North Dakota.
Right. I always go Ma-da-da-da-da. Right? But it's called the Mada Hey Buck 50 Challenge. They do a series of races. This is the biggest one.
150 miles.
Yeah, no runner finished it last year, and there's only two of us in it this year.
Oh, my gosh.
That are running. They're also doing a bike race, but, you know, who needs that? You got two legs, use those, right?
Well, are they using two legs to pedal the bike?
They are, but, you know, it's a little different.
I'd be using two legs as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Brake and gas.
That's right. We use those too. But it's in the middle. So the trail, the name is Mandan Indian. It means that this trail will be here forever. And you kind of feel like that when you're out there. I've done the 107 mile version of this.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, won my age group in that. So hopefully this
was there one participant in it.
Well, there was like four, but who's counting, right? There was four that finished. So it's in the middle of the Badlands of North Dakota.
Wow.
Where all the temperatures hot, cold, be 90 degrees at the start probably or something like that, and it's completely unsupported out there. So
wow.
There's nobody there to tell you. There's no porta potties. There's nobody to tell you where the water is. There's none of this. You have to do that all yourself. So to me, that was symbolic of kind of like somebody that is dealing with PTSD or having suicidal thoughts. You really don't, you're in the dark, right? Wow. And until somebody comes and shines a light and helps you find direction, then you can go to the next stop and the next stop. And it's all about getting to the next stop. So for me, that's what this 150 mile race is about. I got a team. You may or may not know Jill Gabler, our former city council. She's mm-hmm. a veteran. She's on my team. And I have another friend who's a Gold Star wife mm-hmm. that are on my team, and they're the light. Right. So that's who I go to just, I'm just going from one point to the next, from one light to the next. And that's kind of this.
So when you say it's unsupported, are they there at checkpoints? Is that what you have? Is you're just going from checkpoint to another checkpoint?
Yes, sir. Just going from checkpoint to checkpoint where there would be an aid station and another race. But for this one, they're like, it's the challenge. It's the Buck 50 challenge.
So when you're in this race, what's it really for? What's the driving force behind doing this 150?
So at Mount Carmel, which is a great organization. Yes. Mount Carmel intervened in my life. Just, I didn't even mean for them to. They just have a way of doing that, right? Yeah. And got me on the right path, right? And so recently they started working with UCCS for a veterans mental health, behavior health mm-hmm. counseling service that didn't have before. And they see about 150 a week. I didn't plan that number, by the way, you know, for like 50
yes,
jobs.
You did.
I didn't plan that. It just happened, right? And so they see 150 people a week, but there's a waiting list,
yeah.
right? There's a waiting list. And this race is about eliminating that waiting list mm-hmm. because, and providing enough funds and awareness to the community to ensure that we get everybody that needs to see a counselor in their free of charge, like all veterans, I don't care what you did and where you did it, you should be able to see a counselor free of charge. And that's the whole goal in this.
And this in this September, you're doing it on September 18th because this is Suicide Prevention Month.
Indeed. It just worked out again. So this is the the race happened in September and it happened to be in Suicide Prevention Month.
Like you said, the terrain is like, it's hard. I mean, you have, I think you said like 17,000 feet of elevation change.
17,000 feet of elevation gain. And it's not just like up, 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 down, down, down. It's like up, down, up, down, up, down for 150 miles through a river that Lewis and Clark crossed as well.
Wow. So how do people, you know, before you kind of, I want to make sure we do this a couple of times, you're raising money for it. How do people donate? How they get to, how do we get you some cash?
So this is real easy too. We made this real easy. Text 150 to 44321. It'll take you right to the link. Or go to veteransservicecenter.org and there's a red donate button. And it goes, it's real easy.
So text 150 to 44321 or go to veteransservicecenter.org. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
To donate. Make sure you're doing that because Mr. Gore is going to be out there for a long time and we want to finish so we can shorten the wait period over at Mount Carmel for the services. Once again, we are talking to Tim Gore. He's over at Mount Carmel, the community ambassador, ultra runner, first sergeant, one each, over at Mount Carmel, huge passionate advocate. How does one train for that?
So people think, right, you have to run so much to train for 150 miles. Well, in reality, my longest week, and it was only 1 week, was 70 miles.
Okay.
That's a lot. Yep, that's a lot, but it's not all the time. I average, when I'm getting up to
But you did 70 miles in a week.
Yes. Right.
Well, that's not that far.
No, it's not that bad, right? No. Is it? You know, that's from here
it's
to 10 past
miles a
Denver.
Day.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's an average of 10 miles a day.
Right.
But it just kind of that you puts that wear on your body, enough wear to, you know, get you ready, but it also not too much so where you can still be healthy enough to go.
Yeah.
So how else do you get ready? A lot of it's strength training. So I do a lot of step ups. I do a lot of different weightlifting kind of things to maintain, you know, the whole body kind of physical health. But above all, like with most things, it's your mental health.
Right,
it's where are you at in your head? And if you could just get out of your head with any, if you just start something, that's the hardest part, right? So the hardest part of this whole race is the first, you know, couple of steps at 1 o'clock in the morning with the other guy.
How long
Michael.
Does it take?
That's a good question. My 100, I did 100 in the same trail. I did 107 miles last year and it took me 30 hours. So you have diminishing returns after a while, right? So I'm thinking the record is 60 hours for a male.
150?
Yeah, for 150. For that course, it's 60 hours, right? I'm going to try to break 60 hours.
60 hours out there running. No, we got DJ in the studio here, man. He's our sound engineer. 60 hours, DJ.
I can barely do 4 miles. Four.
And that's in his car, buddy.
You know, I run around the Garden of the Gods, but
well, that's still
4 miles. That's it.
Right, but that, you know, that's all really anybody needs to do to stay healthy. I'm not saying this is a healthy endeavor.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm not saying there's anything healthy.
What do you eat afterwards? That's what
I eat most during.
Almost during. Okay.
I eat afterwards. God. Oh, hamburger if I can. I always say I'm going to eat this big meal, and I never can.
Well, okay. So I'm just fascinated by. I ran for Arkansas, and so watching the Hogs run and how John McDonald prepared the athletes to run the 10,000, and then we had some folks go up to marathon as well, and so that's why I say 70 miles is not that long because they were running like 110 a week, and they were flying. John just dropped them off 24 miles out, so they run back. Right. And he's in the truck and he's clocking them every mile as they pass him. He goes another mile and clocks them and you better be on target. So, that was just crazy to me. I was a quarter, 110 meter hurdler and long jumper. I ain't running mile after mile after mile.
No, 25. So, pig suey though.
Pig suey. Exactly right. So, once again, we're talking to Tim Gore. I got some information, man. So some information on the Gorester. This guy, Red Book Magazine Husband of the Year.
They pulled out of the Wayback Machine right there.
tell what's going on with that. You're the Husband of the Year?
I was.
Like, help me out.
1999. It's been a minute, right? We've had a millennia pass since then, right? So, it was...
Prince said 1999.
Yeah, right. My wife at the time just sent the, I think it was mostly because of the wonderful kids in the picture. You know, I have this daughter that has this flaming red curly hair at the time and you have big old cheeks. And and I was a drill sergeant at the time and kind of was taking care, you know, able to do both those things. And she nominated me and then they selected me and I heard no end of it. I was on drill sergeant duty. Just think about my battle buddies. We're like, look at you.
You're the husband of the year.
Why don't you come over and march these soldiers on the chow? How about that, Mr. Husband of the Year? All day, right?
did you have ladies going through at that time?
Yeah, we did.
Do they know? Did they?
Well, a real quick story with this. In the nomination, my wife at the time put how we met is she worked at Walmart and I acted like I needed a can opener and I walked over there and I'm like, hey, I don't know which one of these can openers.
Can you open my can?
Can you open my can, honey? Right. And so that's how we met. So that story is in there. So I show up for work. For, you know, you do 24-hour duty when you're
right. Yes, sir.
When you're a drill sergeant, and I show up, and I bet there's 50 can openers in my desk.
Oh my god!
Right, and they're all just jiggling and smiling. So sweet, drill sergeant. That's the last thing you want to hear as a drill sergeant is, oh, that's so sweet.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, you can't yell at people after that. No, he's not serious. He's the husband of the year.
Yeah, they were all flutter kicking though for about an hour.
Dying cockroach.
Yeah.
So you're really trying to end it. I love that. In Mount Carmel's wait list and being better suicide. So kind of get back on the topic here. When you look at that, right? So kind of the funness of, you know, we talk a little about humorous on Red Book. How do you use humor back into the job that you want to do over at Mount Carmel? How can that really help people, you know, kind of looking at some of the things they've done in life to bring that forward to show there's more of a breadth to the work that's being done?
Right. And yeah, and there's some, you know, there's a lot of truth and like humor breaks down a lot of barriers, right? Yeah. And in order to be, you know, have to be any kind of funny, you got to be real. And so I'm just... I tried to live my life with as much humility as possible. And that's funny. That mistake I just made or something like that, or this part of this thing in my life is actually, is not just, it doesn't only resonate with people. There's some humor in it. So how do I do it? Like, I just try to walk through each day.
Yeah.
Seeing like owning my, what's the word here? You ever read Jocko Willink, like Extreme Ownership, mm-hmm. owning all my things. And in that, it's just fun to laugh at myself. Like, I can't believe I just did this, or I can't believe that I'm about to do this. Right? Yeah. So when people come at me, and they come at me all the time with this 150 miles, that's crazy. I'm like, or that's awesome or whatever. I said, really? No, really, it's crazy, right? Yeah, this is feeding into my ego, right? This is really not awesome. It's really crazy. And here's why, right? Well, and people, because people look at things like that, like a lot of parts of their life, like it's just too hard to do because it seems so massive when you just break it down piece by piece, right? And if I can relate to them through my humor and get them to, I just need you to show up at Mount Carmel, really? That's all I need you to do, and then it'll take care of itself.
Sure. So people can follow you. They can train with you mm-hmm. on the Strava app. Can you tell them a little bit about that, and then talk about how to support you one more time?
Yeah. So on the Strava app, it's called the Buck 50 Challenge, I believe. And if they just go on Strava and you search for these things, you can find it. You can also go to Mount Carmel's Facebook page, and there's a link to it there as well. Also links to where to run with me, you know, the times that they have. I don't even know what times they are right now. I have to check this thing every day, right? They tell me where to be and I just show up. You know, I'm an Army guy, right? And you can always donate by texting 150 to 44321 or going to veteranservicecenter.org and hitting the red donate button. And it really helps if you follow them on Facebook as well and Instagram.
We have a lot of folks in our community, a lot of veterans in our community in Colorado Springs. So make sure you are following Tim. Once again, text that 150 to 44321 and veteranservicecenter.org and donate there as well to help shorten that time for the wait list to bring veteran suicide numbers down to zero heroes, zero, nobody dying. So, hey, thanks so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate all the insight that you packed in today.
Thank you very much, John. Really appreciate having me and talking about this.
We'll be back with The Tactical Advantage and your host, John Register, right after this.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Hey, welcome back to The Tactical Advantage. My name is John Register, and wow, we have Carissa Thayer. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm glad because sometimes I can mess it up. She's an intake specialist over at Behavioral Health, Mount Carmel Veteran Services. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, so when we're talking about behavioral health, right, according to the VA, a number, you know, or average 20 current or former military members, you know, they kill themselves every day in the United States, and the United States, you know, kind of has the highest veteran suicide rate. What's contributing to this epidemic?
Well, I definitely think there are many factors that kind of intertwine. Mm-hmm. So first, we have to think of like the population itself. You go into a career where you're like almost forced to put on this brave face, and that can be kind of difficult to come out of and be able to process some of the things that you're going through, because you're forced to just kind of get through it. So you also have to think about access to care. It's sometimes very difficult to find culturally competent care in the community. And I think that's something super important for this particular population. Also, we need to have like affordable care, something that's easy to reach out to. And that's just not as common as we would hope it to be.
When you look at the access to care, right? Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you said it's hard to find that. Why is that hard to find? I mean, we always say to our, you know, I hear all the time, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And now we find it's access to care is hard to find. Why is that, you know, or not, you know, it's hard to find, but, you know, the competency within inside mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. So I think it really just boils down to the lack of education and cultural mm-hmm. competence, specifically with the military, which is actually something we're trying to get into colleges and schools and everything that are specifically going into counseling. We're trying to add more culturally competent care. Mm-hmm. And Kirsten Belair, the director of behavioral health, she's actually teaching some classes at UCCS that actually address this issue.
And when you say that, because you're working over at Fort Carson as well, and, you know, transitions and those type of things, how are you allowing them, the veteran, to see that the care here is affordable? And if you can't supply it, where else is there affordable care in the community?
Right. So we have a program that allows for a small fee sliding scale that allows for people to come in without insurance, and it's based on their income, and essentially they will only pay somewhere between $15 to $30 per session typically, but we also have scholarship availabilities so that essentially finances are not going to be a barrier. Mm-hmm. We also have some awesome community partnerships. So people who give care in the community, we are connected with them and in communication with them. And we offer the Gateway program so that any military member or their family members could call in, and we can get them connected with a community partner who is going to be able to help them out and meet their needs, both like financially and emotionally, based on what their needs are.
And so what are some of the types of care that you see, like in the mental health, that are coming that you think, yeah, we're seeing this is kind of higher, that might lead to suicide, as we're talking, you know, Suicide Prevention Month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the biggest issues that I see coming in that can definitely come alongside suicidal ideation is PTSD, and even just anxiety or depression. Pretty much anything that people are struggling with can eventually lead to suicidal ideation, but that's not always the case. It kind of depends on the person, what they're dealing with, but it's definitely more common than you might think. think.
Yeah. We were talking a little earlier in the previous segment with Tim Gore, who's about to do the 150 to bring awareness to this. And one of the things he brought up was that, you know, Mount Carmel's behavioral health counsels about 150 people a week, and there's a wait list like never had before. So he's trying to raise money so that the wait list can kind of come down. Can you talk about the, you know, how to get in and make sure either you're on the wait list or, you know, or how we can support members in the community to make the wait list become shorter for that time period?
I think one of the greatest ways we can support as a community is to come together and, you know, if you know someone who's been struggling or they're showing any of those signs, definitely reach out to them and be willing to listen and care for them and just, you know, be curious about what they're going through. And as far as like the waitlist situation, I do know that there are ways that we are trying to address this as a program and with the community. So again, I'm really thankful for our Gateway program so that even if they can't be directly seen at Mount Carmel yet, they can go out into the community and we can give them a warm handover referral that so that they're able to like really receive that care without having to call a million people and try and figure it out themselves. And then on top of that, we're also trying to hire new clinicians, get more interns and people trained so that they can be culturally competent. And we also have people volunteering. But I do notice that it's been wonderful lately. The community has been coming together to also work on things like alternative therapies, drop-in groups, pretty much anything that's going to be supporting our military community right now.
Who are some of those organizations that are kind of coming on board now to help alleviate some of the load?
Yeah, so I definitely work a lot with the Vet Center. I work with the Family Care Center, Life Stance, Cohen's Veteran Network, Headstrong. There's lots of different community partners I definitely work with, Community Counseling Center as well. They're all super helpful and they're happy to work with military members. And a lot of them are doing more trainings to also really reach that military competence as well.
Wow. So everybody out there, we are talking with Carissa Thayer, intake specialist over at Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in the behavioral health area. You know, when we talked about a little bit about how people are helping, there's some things, you know, you were saying a little earlier of what not to say, what not to do. Can you share some of those things when trying to help somebody in suicide ideation?
Yeah. So I think a lot of the times we come at suicidal ideation with this concept of like, well, think of all the people you'll hurt. That is something we actually really want to avoid. Basically, what that can do is if you're coming at them with this kind of like challenge and everything against those feelings, you're making them potentially spiral into shame. And that is actually a catalyst in suicidal ideation. So one of the best ways to avoid that is to kind of meet them where they're at and face it like a team. Say, well, what are some of the things that you might want to live for? Rather than look at what will have to be here when you're gone, like, and deal with that. I think it's also really helpful to kind of validate them where they're at, because when you say, oh, it's not that big of a deal, or just like be joyful and like be positive, it's not that simple, because frankly, suicidal ideation it's almost like an intrusive thought. It's not something that's so easy to control or anything like that. It's best to face it with coping skills and tools that you can get through mental health training.
So, and do you offer that to individuals as well to help, you know, other people that can lean into the space? I guess kind of what I heard is be more empathetic rather than sympathetic. So sympathy would be more of, you know, more inward to me. Look how you're going to hurt me if you do this. And so that, then you're saying that drives them into a spiral that kind of goes down to pushing them. I think you said shame, shaming. versus empathy of meeting somebody where they are and understanding, you know, right where a person is. Is that, does Mount Carmel help in that aspect for those to walk alongside and become an ally for those that might be having suicide ideation?
Well, we definitely offer services to also like family members and anyone directly affected. So with that being said, we also can provide some psychoeducation, which is something that can be helpful in aiding that working alongside process. Mm-hmm. One thing I know I've done in the past is, you know, I'll take a call and they'll be like, hey, I'm in this situation and my partner is freaking out and I don't know what to do. What can I do? And in those situations, I'll typically help them either connect them with another resource or, you know, provide some basic psychoeducation in that moment, and then provide follow-up resources as well.
Is there why you just said that right there, is there a number to call, like if somebody gets in trouble and can call over to Mount Carmel?
Yeah. So, I mean, we typically don't take a lot of crisis calls because we're not a crisis center, but we do have crisis resources available. So especially if you or someone you know is in like a crisis position, it's always great to call that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's going to be 1-800-273-8255. And it's the same number for the Veteran Crisis Line, except you just press 1. And that can be a super helpful resource because even if you're just trying to help someone else and you don't know what to do, they can also aid in that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. So everybody out there, if you do know somebody that's in that situation, 1-800-273-8255 is the number for that suicide ideation number to just jump in there and then just press 1 if you are a veteran. We're in studio with Carissa Thayer. She's the intake specialist in behavioral health over at Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center. Now, to kind of get away from all this stuff, you do something that's like really fantastic. You're a writer, songwriter.
I am. Oh. I've written over 30 songs.
Over 30 songs. And kind of what's the genre that you like to get in?
Somewhat pop. It kind of depends. I've been working on an album.
So you're writing for like Miley Cyrus and...
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah. She pays for my songs all the time.
I know she does. I know she does. She should. So what are you writing about, for?
Yeah. So I personally struggle with mental health issues myself. Mm-hmm. And because of that, music has been a great way for me to cope. And writing music, I usually write about just life things that can go from love to heartbreak to suicidal ideation. Mm-hmm. I like to write about all of those types of things because it really does help ground me.
Have you found that you can bring that into your sessions to give other alternatives, a way people can think about life and what they have to offer in their gifts?
Yeah. So again, because I'm just an intake specialist, I'm not qualified to really see clients. Mm-hmm. But people I do interact with and I talk with on the phone, you know, I'll ask them about what kind of alternative, like therapeutic methods that they engage in. And I obviously am a big fan of writing and music.
Yeah.
And we actually even have a music program at Mount Carmel that I definitely offer to people because I think it can be so helpful.
I see the arts too, that's part of the arts, but also drawings and those things. We've had some folks on to talk about the how drawing can help relieve some stresses and tensions and going from really darker paintings to the lighter paintings when you can see the progress of individuals, which is actually powerful. So when, you know, kind of shifting a little bit more, I do want to come back a little bit to where people can find you on to find all your stuff, because you're actually out there. Mm-hmm. Your songs are on where it's on streaming services.
Yeah.
What's the streaming service?
Spotify, Apple Music.
Dang, she's like blown
YouTube.
Up, y'all. This is great. I want to sing something. Actually, we'll do that later. And what's your handle? Everybody's got a handle.
Yeah. So my handle, typically, like if you want to find me on social media, it's Poetry in Darkness. And as far as finding my music, my artist name is Kali Ma. That's K-A-L-I-M-A-H.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that. Poetry in Darkness. Okay. There are a lot of poets around here in the 719, 719 Poetry. I know there's a great crew that's out there as well. So we just heard in the news, you know, the past week, past couple of weeks, you know, America's longest war has ended. And many veterans, you know, have a lot of mixed emotions about that. Mm-hmm. Is my service counted? Was it valuable? Was it honorable? You know, I don't know if I did the right thing. You know, I thought I signed up for something and something else happened. How dangerous is it disappointing to kind of end this military operation to the mental health of those directly involved?
That's a great question. The best answer I'll definitely be able to give you is, frankly, it depends. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the reactions people are having are just completely valid emotional reactions that will mm-hmm. happen when a big event like this happens. But for those predisposed with issues like PTSD, depression, and anxiety, this can definitely fuel some of those thoughts that are going to lead to something that can be more dangerous.
Yeah.
And that's one of those situations where, you know, I emphasize that it's great to reach out to either your support system or, if you're willing, to a program like Mount Carmel. And if you or you see someone you love going through these things and having these reactions to an event like this, that's also a good time to reach out and ask what can you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, today is September the 11th, as you know, yes. when we're on right now. And so talk about, you know, what's Mount Carmel doing right now to, you know, today, or just kind of commemorating this this day that really pushed us into this war, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now we've kind of ended it down. But what's the kind of mood and the thought process over at Mount Carmel right now?
So at Mount Carmel, we are definitely just going to continue our programming so that we can support veterans coming in or veterans calling in. It's very important, especially on a weekend like this being such a big anniversary, that members of the military, veterans, their families, don't isolate. Find community and find support in those moments that can be so difficult, because reaching out is sometimes the hardest thing, but the most important thing. And Mount Carmel is just here to support.
Yeah, I really appreciate you being on it. And this is such a tough day. You know, we see the beginnings of the war. We see the endings of it now, you know, 20 years later. And we see a lot of individuals that are struggling with this. You know, when I'm talking in the veterans mm-hmm. community right now, and a lot of emotion around this topic. I really want to thank you and Mount Carmel for the work that you do to make sure that everybody, you know, feels connected and feels a sense of belonging. So if you are out there and you need to, you know, just to reach out, Mount Carmel is here. So make sure that we will have the number up in our show notes so that you have an opportunity to reach out to this great organization that we have right in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Carissa was talking about the suicide prevent number, which is 800-273-8255. And if you're a veteran, press 1 as well. So thanks, Chris, for being on the show for us today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Absolutely. We'll be back with more Tactical Advantage and John Register right after this.
Stay tuned for more valuable information on Tactical Advantage.
If you're Medicare eligible and military connected, Rich Lewis and Medicare Mentors will guide you through setting up coverage to make sure that you have the right options. Call Rich Lewis at Medicare Mentors at 719-886-3377. Medicare Mentors, personal guidance at no cost consultation for military connected service members. Committed to advocate for you today and all of your tomorrows. Proud sponsors of Tactical Advantage. Heard every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on KPPF. It's time to smile again. At Star Dental Institute, Dr. Gary Moore and his staff specialize in general dentistry, dentures, and orthodontics, as well as sedation dentistry and dental implants at affordable rates. With COVID-19 restrictions being lifted, now is the perfect time to visit Star Dental Institute, Colorado Springs' premier full-service dentistry office and one-day denture service center. The message is basic. It's safe to come back to the dentist. To schedule an appointment, call 719-597-7979 or online at dentalcoloradosprings.com. Star Dental Institute, proud sponsor of Tactical Advantage. In today's tough economic times, it can be hard to make sure you're working with companies that have your best interest at heart. Because of this, you can count on the Wire Nut to go the extra mile to make sure that you and your investments are protected. You can trust the Wire Nut for licensed HVAC technicians, master electricians, and plumbers. The Wire Nut is your complete home service company. They strive to make sure you are comfortable in your home and that your home is safe. Call the Wire Nut Home Services at 719-465-5900. Online at thewirenut.com. Proud sponsor of the Tactical Advantage.
Now, back to Tactical Advantage with John Register.
Hey, everybody, it's John Register back with the Tactical Advantage. Thanks for being with us. We are on with Small Business Development Administrator, City of Colorado Springs, and co-founder of Wild Goose Meeting House and Good Neighbors Meeting House, Yemi Mobilade. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, your mission is all about bringing the community together. So right. Just kind of expand on what your objectives are with.
Right. Thank you. First of all, I just want to say what a treat and an honor it is to be here.
Oh, my God.
With you. I did a little bit of research on you, and I'm sitting with a legend. So,
oh, no.
And then my colleague at the city, Donna Nelson, just sings your praises.
Oh, my gosh.
She's a huge fan. She's as yummy as a man you need to know. So,
oh, my gosh.
As one who brings people together, frankly, I'm a little embarrassed that we have not met until today. But there's a time.
Yeah, the time works out.
The time works out. Right.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, that is, you know, bringing people together is just part of who I am. Mm-hmm. That is a skill set that God has given me. My actually personal mission, and it's actually on my website. My mission is to collaborate for the health, growth, and prosperity of the city of Colorado Springs. I also say my beloved city of Colorado Springs. So
I love that.
I collaborate around initiatives that I believe will have huge and immense city impact. So sometimes that takes me to the private sector. Sometimes that takes me to the nonprofit or faith sector. Sometimes that takes me to government. So you can see my resume that I have this tri-sector thing going. And in each one of those spaces, it is about bringing people together to help solve problems and to really advance the flourishing of our city.
So have you found that, you know, you kind of said that this is your mission, that you're calling. When did you find that you began connecting people?
No, that's a great question. You know, when you're younger, you don't really know the breadth of your abilities. Yeah. And as you have more miles ahead of you, you begin to look back, you begin to see common themes and patterns and threads. And one of those for me, since I came into the country as a 17-year-old international student, I went to college here in the U.S., this was about 25 years ago, was when I landed in the U.S. and I began to get involved on campus and in different leadership experience. I'd look around me and there would be people. Actually, it caught me off guard because I was a late bloomer in my development, and people began to say, yeah, I mean, people want to be around you. So if people want to be around you, why not use it to accomplish some things that move our community forward? So it wasn't until really 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago, when I landed, stepped foot in Colorado Springs, did those ability come to full fruition. And so it's manifested itself the most in my time at Colorado Springs.
And so when you came, you're coming in from Nigeria, is that correct?
Yeah, so 25 years ago, I moved from my country of origin, Nigeria, to, I was at the Midwest, but I've been in Colorado Springs now for 10 and a half years.
So when you come from Nigeria, was that culture there, which, you know, for the reaching out and the connecting of people?
I guess there's a little bit of a cultural element that it's a communal society. And the difference is, I think, people are just always around you.
Everybody's raising. Everybody.
You got it. Everybody is raising. Even your neighbor.
Your neighbor.
Your neighbor. You know, second mom, second dad. And so, yeah, everybody is raising. It takes a village, right?
It takes a village.
Right.
We definitely have it. We see a lot comes over, right?
And right.
So even in my community in Oak Park, Illinois, on the west side of Chicago, everybody raised everybody, you know, in the day, right? We didn't have any... Everybody had corporal punishment. You got in trouble.
Oh man, I remember those. You said Chicago, Cubs or Sox?
Sox, absolutely, 100%.
Okay, I'm not going to say that I like the Cubs then.
Yeah, don't say that. We're going to be fighting up here real quick. So you serve as a first point of contact for small businesses and startup for community.
Yes, sir.
What kind of businesses activities are you seeking, particularly in the southeastern part of Colorado Springs?
Right. So. I serve as a first point of contact. That's one of my primary role with the city of Colorado Springs. When a business needs help, when they don't know where to start, they start with me. When they get stuck through the development process, especially if you've never started a business before, and you're trying to navigate the different government agencies, and you need help, you come to me. And then the third aspect of my job is also to pursue new technologies, new processes to streamline government service delivery to our citizens. So that's my core job. Now I have this project that is part of that lives in on my desk, and is that I also serve as the project manager for the city's Southeast Economic Vitality Activities. And so we recognize this tale of two cities between the growth with the largest city and these two zip codes in Colorado Springs, 80910 and 80916 zip codes that have a different story, a different reality. And so as government, we are trying to lean in and leverage, I can't remember which president called it, the bully pulpit. So leverage our bully pulpit to
Roosevelt.
I think it was Roosevelt. Yep, you got it.
Bully.
It was Theodore Roosevelt. Yep. Well done. See if we can make things happen. It's one of our roles. Also, the primary role of government is also to nurture the right environment for thriving to occur. So we're paying attention to what's happening, but we're also making investments in Southeast. Actually, between 2017 to 2022, we'll be making about a $116 million infrastructure investment. And we're hoping that encourages more businesses to locate, to start in Southeast Colorado Springs.
Okay, my brain's going 1,000 right now. I'm writing furiously on some notes here. So one has to do with the governor's laid out a plan for transportation, economic plan that's going to go across the state.
Right.
And I know that Colorado Springs is getting a chunk of that to help with roads and bridges and those type of things.
Right.
I live over in the southeast part of the community, right?
Oh.
And I go down towards Harrison High School,
right,
where the McDonald's is, and you got this.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So that bridge is dangerous.
Right.
So I see kids walking up and down that bridge all the time,
right,
going to school because mom and dad are either working a job, they're in the military, right, or something, and they're traveling that bridge. Is there any of that capital that's going to come in to kind of fix those areas that are kind of more dangerous in the space? That's kind of my first question. I have another follow-up after.
No, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that, John, to be honest, but I do know Mayor Southers has been a relentless advocate to try to get some of those infrastructure money to Colorado Springs from the state.
Mm-hmm.
He's working that with Governor Polis and right in step with him. So I fully expect that some of those funding will come. But I don't know the specifics around,
sure,
the investment, but from the city side. So you have the infrastructure that is cared for by the state, then you have some of it that is actually, it's our responsibility city side.
Yeah.
So from the city side, we are actually making investments in places like South Academy,
yeah,
that whole reconstruction, you know, redoing the roads and sidewalks. And so we are doing our part with it. But you bring up a good question around the bridge and some of the others. And report 80916 zip code is the hottest zip code in the United States of America.
I did not know that, but with everybody moving in and the apartment prices going up, I'm assuming someplace around here is pretty hot.
It surprised all of us. And
wow.
I think it's the affordability.
Yeah.
The rest of the city is too expensive. So you look now and you're going, oh, 1016 there's an opportunity. So, so just that already tells you we're going to be seeing some activity,
right?
Because a lot of investors are paying attention to that.
So, my last question on this topic, and I want to move to something else.
Okay, and no worries.
We're talking to Yemi Mobilati. He is over at the Small Business Development Administrator of City of Colorado Springs, and co-founder of Wild Goose Meeting House and Good Neighbors Meeting House. Huge, strong advocate. Having a fascinating conversation with him right now. Liquor stores. Okay, we got liquor stores in the Southeast. We got wine and spirits up north. They're still selling alcohol. So right. how do we get either the wine and spirits down the Southeast or liquor stores up in Northeast or the North? That's what I want to know.
Gosh, I didn't even know that there was a difference.
Yeah, there's this huge difference of what the perception of it looks like, right? So when you're down in the Southeast part of the community, we don't have wine and spirits.
Huh.
Well, the liquor store, right? And so if one thing is called one thing, why can't we just call it the same thing? So either call one thing. It's kind of like, you know, I look at it.
And, businesses are private enterprises. I own two of them and can't really tell them what to do.
What to name it, yeah.
If I was to guess what's going on with the difference, my best guess, and this is not educated or anything, my best guess is just that it's a naming. Southeast businesses, mom and pop businesses, are older. They're not as hip or trendy. You know, they haven't evolved. But as the makeup of the community shifts, especially with the housing and more people are living there, more people are owning homes there. I think we're gonna see. It's like downtown.
Yeah.
You know, one thing leads to the other. 10 years ago, downtown looked like a very different city.
Yeah.
Downtown. I expect we'll probably see some evolution there too.
Yeah. There's climate changes. There's a lot going on, and you know. Even with the district stadium now, with Harrison District 2 Stadium, that are there because the stadium is just really fantastic.
Cool. That's actually, that's really cool.
So that's helping with the economics, with hotels that are around the area, and food areas. So it's really coming up as far as that. So I believe it's a great investment for that part of the town.
That is correct. The data shows that too.
You've been significant in affecting change for the better in getting people to collaborate and really build business relationships. What obstacles do you see that can pose some challenges to that?
Great things and magic happens when we come together.
Sure.
What I fear is what's going on. So I'm taking a wider scope. This is not just limited to our city. This is limited to the nation as a whole.
Yeah.
Is this what I'm calling tribalism? As one who's from a West African nation, now American citizen, I mean, you see this whole idea of tribes, you know, camps. Why sometimes countries like my home country have not progressed forward movement. It hinders releasing the geniuses of what it means when people work together. You know, while technology is advancing in our nation, I feel like from a social construct, I feel like we're reverting back to the Stone Age, just perspective and ideas to be able to come together. I always think that America was actually built on a competition of ideas. Mm-hmm. We need diverse perspective and ideas together coming to the table for something beautiful together.
We've been sharing around this topic of what you're just talking about, the tribalism, what we call it, you know, or factions or whatever we're going to, you know, say it, that a lot of times people aren't able to really articulate their point of view in the fear that they are trying to express.
Right.
And so it's usually somebody else's point of view that they're articulating, or it's a societal point of view that somebody's articulating. They haven't done the work for themselves to know why they are believing what they believe. And so in my presentation, what I generally do is I call that out. And that takes courage,
right?
Because if you don't commit to that, if you just stay with what other people say or what society says, then you have to justify to yourself and to others why you were not courageous enough to make a jump and pull away from that when you know what to do is right.
Coming together around is really important. That's kind of a common mission.
So the focal point of
the focal point, And I, in my whimsical, idealistic reality, I think in the city of Colorado Springs, we can come together. Here's the scary, and you use the word courage, which is one of my three core values. It's known that if you step outside of rank, if you step out, you might be alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking that risk. You may not be alone. Other people might be with you, but you might step outside of the tribe and you need to do the right thing and you might be alone, but it's still worth it.
Wow, man, we had a great conversation today. Yemi Mobilati, thank you so much for being on the show. When are you coming back?
We got to do a part two on this.
I would love to do a part two because I'd love to talk through some of the, I think the best conversations move from philosophy to like tangible.
Right, right.
You know, so I'd love to come back and talk about tangible opportunities for, you know, where the listeners can get plugged in. Where do you start? If you're interested in doing a business in Southeast, you know, what are the entrepreneurship
process?
Yeah, so, and so, yeah, we'll talk more about that too.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to be back right after this on the Tactical Advantage. Stay tuned. All right, everybody, another show in the can. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And make sure you are commemorating this day. What are you going to be doing? Make sure you're out there, thanking veterans or thanking first responders, everybody that was a part of, 9/11. And really, let's wrap our arms around the community. And we had some really great guests, great information. Rewind the tape to hear that once again and share it with somebody else as well. So remember, just catch all of our shows here on KPPF Radio on 95.7 FM, 1040 AM, and 98.5 FM, and on the Podbean at Tactical Advantage. So we have some upcoming events at Mount Carmel, the music program, every Monday at 5 p.m. Art Expression Group meets at 5:30 on Mondays. Yoga Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Reboot Group meets at Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., helping veterans and their family members overcome trauma. And then the Post-Traumatic Stress Support Group meets on Thursdays at 10 a.m. And then, of course, today, the Race to the Clouds, Cruise Above the Clouds, and there's going to be a booth out there with the Phil Long dealership for that race that's happening today. So make sure you are governing yourselves accordingly. Remember, when our truth outweighs our fear, we will commit to a courageous life. Follow me, John Register, at www.johnregister.com for all of my social media handles. And go forth and inspire your world, where go is your command, forth is your direction, inspire is your vocation, your because only you can do this work. World, it's your sphere of influence. So go forth, inspire your world for this week, and we'll talk to you a little bit later next week at 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday. Set your dial, and we'll say bye for now.
This has been Tactical Advantage with John Register, heard every Saturday at 8 a.m. on KPPF, presented by Mount Carmel Veterans Service Center in partnership with Medicare Mentors, Wirenut Home Services, and Star Dental Institute. Listen to the companion podcast on kppfradio.podbean.com.